This is the Dawn Chorus outside my hotel on the island of Madeira. It's lovely, isn't it? There's a misconception that Madeira is for old folk. I think that's wrong. I visited the island in my mid-30s. A decade later, I've come back to this small green and verdant volcanic rock 300 miles off the North African coast. The island's retained its charm and sense of calm. There's a great holiday waiting to be had here if you prefer natural beauty to nightlife. There's walks, wine, flowers and superb food, and they really take care of tourists.
It's the way we treat foreigners. We are known for that. Even in hotels, the service is normally great. Everyone is friendly. Everyone speaks English in Madeira because we learn English at school. It's compulsory.
Madeira has been a subtropical retreat for Britons for centuries. Year-round temperatures range between 16 and 23 Celsius. You'll notice the UK influence with a number of tea rooms. The finest is Reed's Palace, Churchill's hotel of choice. Their English afternoon tea is a must-do for many. You're encouraged to dress nicely for the finger sandwiches, scones and petit fours served in the lounge or on the terrace. It's €33 per person. It's a special event.
If you're stopping by Madeira just for a week, take a special afternoon and go there. It's delightful.
Britain's connection with Madeira is long. We've occupied the island twice. We've traded with the island, and many Brits have settled here since the 1800s.
We have a lot of families, local families, that came from Great Britain, like the Blandys.
In 1808, John Blandy started shipping the Madeiran wine, which remains today the island's number one export.
Ships always stopped a lot here for water, food supply, and they started taking wine. But in order to preserve the wine in the long journeys, they started adding brandy. Most of the ships were stopping here. They were going to West or East Indies, so they crossed the tropics. So with the high temperatures, the wine changed. That's why when you taste these wines, some of the sweeter ones, more like a toffee caramel. So the wine with the heating is like being caramelized.
British people have enjoyed Madeira wine for centuries.
We have Madeira wine mentioned in Shakespeare.
You can learn Blandy's story and taste their product at their wine lodge. Their building on the leafy main street of the small capital, Funchal, was once a Franciscan monastery, a hospital, a prison and a workhouse. Today they've added a restaurant and visitor centre to this wine warehouse. Inside, there are murals depicting wine production in the 20s and 30s. German artist Max Römer painted a frieze of islanders carrying grape juice to Funchal for processing. They were carrying it on their backs in goat skins. I met lodge manager Anna Vieira Soares in this relaxed setting for a tasting.
So, we're having here the medium dry Verdalho. We give the name of the grape to the wine, so it produces our medium dry amber color. Great wine to have before a meal or with some salad, some salmon.
Madeiran wines are around 19% alcohol content because, of course, it's fortified.
So traditionally we have Madeira before or after a meal. It's not impossible to have with the main course, but it's going to be a heavy meal.
Blandy's offer a taste of wine from your birth year in their vintage tasting room lined with bottles from the different years. 1969 was clearly a good one. I enjoyed my glass. They probably got your year too.
The oldest one we have at the moment available, the Boal 1920. So we still have nearly 2,000 litres of wine maturing from 1920.
Now, you should never drink and drive, so let's see the island with somebody else behind the wheel in a very British way. In a 1935 Austin 10 open road tourer, this was made in Longbridge. They were used as cabs in Madeira. This is the only one surviving on the island now. It uses 1 litre of fuel for every 5 kilometres travelled. 210classictours.com is run by brothers Paolo and Joao Panetta. Their granddad owned the vehicle. He was teased about it after it became unfashionable in the 50s, but luckily preserved it in a garage. You get the sense the men are custodians of this heirloom for the next generation.
It is a very important car because it's in the family since 49.
Touring the shaded lanes, passing mansions set in beautiful gardens, seems the perfect pace for Madeira.
The old roads, they are very, very picturesque. It's well worth going through them, knowing the old city and the old villas.
The boys prefer driving to the eastern side of Funchal. There's some superb photo spots overlooking the red-tiled roofs of the capital, the villas and gardens, sweeping down from 3,000 feet to sea level. Madeira's volcanic hills rise sharply, so there's some steep roads and tight turns. Driving a vintage vehicle with cable brakes and double clutching between first and second gears does require special skills.
You always need to try to guess what will happen. You have to be very concentrated to drive a car like this.
The tours last between 90 minutes and 3 hours, and the brothers say sometimes their passengers dress up for the experience.
Amaryllis belladonna, or belladonna lilies, they grow wild up in the mountains in between pine, really. And in the market you can buy the cut flowers or the bulbs, you can take it home.
Madeira is said to be one of the best locations for flower lovers. It's a garden in the Atlantic. Visiting sailors will offer plants to use as payments for harbour fees. I toured the flower section of Funchal's Market with tour guide Jacqueline of Madeira Food on Foot.
Birds of Paradise, quite cheap in Madeira, the touristic emblem of Madeira. It's not from here, it's from South Africa, but it's the flower that adapts so well to our soil, to our weather. Madeira is also known for its orchids.
Well, I've just been dropped off at the Monte Palace Tropical Garden. Their collection of 100,000 plants began in the 18th century. Their gardens are landscaped with 1,000 Zimbabwean sculptures. There's also water features, including fish ponds. Some of their walkways are paved with 15th century tiles. This area, Monte, was established as a cooler hilltop health resort, which embraced the incredible views. Getting back down the hill can be fun. Funchal's number one attraction isn't relaxing. You queue up so you can climb into a two-seater wicker basket, which is then pushed down the steep road by two guys dressed in white and wearing straw boaters. Ugu is one of the men who operates the sledges. He's a carrero.
So how far is it to go down?
It's 2 kilometres.
Do you know what speed you get up to?
About 20-25 kilometres.
I decided not to join the long queue, and instead I climbed into one of the 39 cable car cabins for the breathtaking 15-minute, 3.5-kilometre ride down the mountain to the town centre. As you ride in the carriage, you can peer down on local life as you pass over locals' homes, the riverbed, allotments and gardens clinging to the steep mountainside. Next, I'll be testing my head for heights again at a viewpoint which makes the record books.
We have the highest sea cliff in Europe here in Madeira, 580 metres high, and the second highest in the world. Great Destinations Radio Show.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show. I'm Kerry Jones, and I'm on Madeira. It's an autonomous island within the Portuguese Republic, 35 miles long and 13 wide. There are spectacular views in Madeira because there's so many high points and overlooks. I'm staying at the Quinta de Bela Vista Hotel.
Well, a quinta, it's a farm. In the old times, you have plenty of quintas in Madeira.
I strolled through the hotel's beautiful 20,000 square metre gardens with a head receptionist, Fernando Vieira.
I guess you've got lots of gardeners then working for
you. Yes, we have four gardeners in full time.
So this was originally a farmhouse?
Yes, yes.
What would have been farmed?
Well, the banana trees, sugarcane.
That building's beautiful. It's got a relaxing library filled with British antiques too. Christie's experts visited and claimed it was one of the largest collections outside the UK. And, as you'd expect, there are views across the bay, whether you're on the balcony in your room or taking a dip.
So you are lying down in the pool and enjoying the view. You are able to see all the cruisers that are coming out.
Fernando recommends a 20-minute drive up to the centre of the island, where you can look down into Nuns Valley.
And from the balcony you can see the village down in the crater. You see the mountains cloudy. Go there, because most of the times you pass through the clouds and you are above the clouds in the mountains, and it's really fantastic. And in the half an hour you are in 1,800 metres high.
Madeira does have some sandy beaches, but there's also dark volcanic sand and pebbles. If you want to explore, hiking's popular. There's a lush green primeval forest, or there's self-guided or organised walks along the levadas, irrigation channels.
More than 1,000 kilometres of levadas in the island, it's something amazing. And I think it's something that everyone that comes to Madeira should try to do, like a small one or a big one if they can.
That's former tour guide and local, Rui Pestana.
The north has a lot more water than the south. So this was all kind of like a big engineering thing. During a few centuries after the discovery of Madeira, people were trying to bring water to the south. So they designed these water channels that still go on today without any kind of power, everything is natural, that bring the water to the south. If you have like a small piece of land, you can like buy 1 hour of water. And there's a guy that moves stones from one side to another and lets the water come to your place. There are many that closer to the shore and some others deep inside the island. Most of them are in good condition, but they cannot all be perfect.
5 kilometres from Funchal is this quaint fishing village, Camara de Lobos. It's named after the sea lions that once lived here. As you drive in on the top road, you can look down across the whitewashed, red-tile-roofed houses nestled in a horseshoe-shaped bay between hills. There's pretty churches and seafront bars and cafes. Churchill enjoyed painting the view here. I've clambered over the pebbles on the foreshore between colourfully painted fishing boats to watch locals drying their fish in the sun.
Thank you.
I'm on the tourist bus to Cabo Jureo. Each day, 1,800 people come to see the view from the top of the cliffs.
We will stop for 15 minutes.
Well, if you're brave enough, you can walk straight out onto the glass-bottom skywalk protruding over the edge of the cliff, which drops a dizzying 580 metres down to the ocean. But the view of the cliffs, the sheer drop and the capital in the background is just amazing. Down there I can see the community of Camara de Lobos. There, they invented a potent local drink called poncha. I'm off to taste it in Funchal at bar number 2 as part of the Madeira foodonfoot.com food walk.
It was invented by fishermen. When they used to go out fishing during the night, they used to take with them some rum, some lemon, some honey, and then they used to just mix up all these ingredients and they created the poncha, and they used to say it was to warm up inside in case of cold nights in the ocean, or to prevent colds or flus.
On the tour, you'll sample espada. Now, that's the traditional local black scabbard fish. It's delicious because the fish eats squid and shrimps and has a mild flavour. It's not pretty, though.
Very similar to an eel.
Yeah,
it's long and thin like this, and it has these big eyes and these sharp teeth. It's really, really ugly, the fish. Horrible.
Well, we've just seen one in the fish markets, and luckily what they serve on the plate doesn't look so bad. They cover it with banana for quite a unique mix of sweet and sour tastes. Talking of fruit, there's plenty of colourful fruits that we've just tasted in the market.
So this is the fruit. It grows on a plant called Monstera deliciosa, that's the botanical name, also known as love fruit or forbidden fruit. Eat the white section inside. It's really a mixture of exotic flavours. Imagine a bit of pineapple, a bit of banana, a bit of passion fruit, a bit of mango. It's really exotic.
You will get some local honey cake and egg tarts and cottage cheese tart, that was lovely, to complete the 7 stops over 4 hours on the food walk. It was very good. You won't want lunch before or dinner afterwards. Madeirans are also proud of the football success of their most famous son.
We have Cristiano Ronaldo Museum, we have a Cristiano Ronaldo Square, we have a Cristiano Ronaldo Airport. I think it's okay. I think he also... he likes his town, and when it's needed, he promotes Madeira also.
If you want to talk footy, head to Ricardo de Souza's bar, Avo. The South African moved to the island in 1995. He saw football scarves in a London pub after a Millwall game and decided to collect them. Sadly, he lost his collection of 1,200 when floods hit the town 7 years ago, but he's replaced his collection slowly.
Today, I'm on 831. So the idea is not to be the biggest world record, but it's just to get people coming in. More loyal are those from the smaller teams. And when you show them that team, they either cry or they go crazy and they take photos and go on Skype.
Just driving around the island gives a sense of excitement. The perfectly maintained motorway cuts across the deep valleys and ravines on high bridges. They're incredible feats of engineering. You'll dart in and out of tunnels. It's like being on a car commercial. And you'll know you're never more than a few minutes away from a view that you'll want on your memory card or just to remember. Monarch and BA are among the airlines who offer the four-hour flight from Madeira to London. Prices are around £100 return in June, and EasyJet link Funchal with Gatwick and Edinburgh at a similar price.
This is the Great Destinations Radio Show.